And it's a very good morning from me, John Fradgley, with you from the Bell Legal Group. Back with you for another program of The Law and You. It's your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 9:30. All you need to do is telephone our number, 55208888. That's 55208888. South of the Tweed River, 07 in front of the number, of course, and you can always use our email address if you'd like your question answered next week. That's talkback@4crb.com. But we've had Chris waiting online very patiently for some time. So, Chris, we come to you with a very good morning. How can we help today?
Yeah, good morning, John. My name's Chris.
Yes, Chris, how can we help?
Well, I'm hoping you can give me some advice on a noisy dog.
Right.
I guess you get this a lot.
Is it a neighbour's dog, is it?
Yes, it's a neighbour's dog. Council have been around and inspected, but they reckon that it's not a nuisance. But it's every morning it's barking solidly from 8 o'clock till it's just about finished, actually, 8:45.
Mm.
And it barks. Excuse me, but I have shortness of breath.
No, that's quite okay. No, that's quite okay. Just take your time.
And yesterday morning it was barking for an hour and 24 minutes non-stop.
Chris, have you tried to speak to the neighbours about it?
Yes, this has been going on for a couple of years now.
And what, they either won't do anything about it or can't do anything about it?
Well, they've told me that that they've put the dog into
obedience classes.
The obedience club. They told me that it's gone for training.
Mm.
It's just rubbish that's been going on. The council, about 5 years ago, we had a problem across the road with a dog. The council came along and fined them and told them to wear a dog collar.
Mm.
And that's been no problem. In fact, it's very helpful now. It tells me when the postie comes. But this new council inspector, I had showed him a report.
Mm.
And they just said that there's no nuisance. My wife has been keeping a record of all this sort of stuff.
Mm.
And I'm just wondering if there's any... I have actually emailed him and told him that if he doesn't desist, I will consider taking legal action against him. But
Who's this,
no
the
neighbour?
The neighbour or the inspector?
The neighbour.
Right, okay. Look, the noisy dogs is a local government matter rather than a police matter. The police close down noisy parties, etc., and that's at any time of the day or night.
Yes.
Quite frankly, if the dog's barking for that length of time every morning, I think that is a nuisance. I wonder, Chris, whether it might be worthwhile getting onto your local councillor. Do you know who your local councillor is?
Herman Munster, yeah.
Yeah, well, look, what I would suggest you do is ring his office and make an appointment to go and see him and just explain to him what the problem is, because it seems rather inconsistent if the council did something about the dog over the road but they're not prepared to do anything about the one next door.
This is what I was thinking of, yeah.
And, I mean, particularly if your wife has got a record of the length of time the dog barks, have you made any recordings of it at all?
No, I haven't actually made any recordings. Mm. All my wife has been doing over the last couple of months, actually, is keeping a daily record
of when it barks,
of how long it goes on for. Sometimes it's only for 5 or 10 minutes, which is fine.
Acceptable, yes.
But, and I appreciate, you know, people coming in. But the dog lives at the end, at the dead end of a cul-de-sac, so it's not as if we get a lot of traffic.
Mm. And is the dog inside or outside?
It went from 7:47 to 8:40.
And is the dog inside or outside? Is the dog kept inside or outside?
Outside,
okay, so the noise is quite significant. What I would suggest you do is I would suggest, have you got an iPhone?
Yes, I have, yes.
Because on those iPhones, they actually have noise meters as an app. What I wonder whether you shouldn't do is make a recording of the dog using your iPhone and put the iPhone as close as you reasonably can to the fence without, you know, putting it over the fence or anything like that. So do that. Take a recording of it and look, even if you've got to record it for the length of time that it barks for, and that together with your wife's log of how often the dog is barking, and then make an appointment to go and see Herman Munster in relation to it.
Okay. Thank you very much for your help, John. I really appreciate
then, Chris,
it.
All the very best with that. I understand what you're saying. We've got a similar issue with a dog next door, but fortunately it's inside, and so we can barely hear it. But I get concerned for the dog because and it's not as if the neighbour is not an unbelievably attentive pet owner, so there's absolutely no question about that. But sometimes they go out and the dog's left at home and you just hear it bark, bark, bark. And I just worry that the dog's getting distressed. But anyway, I know what sort of an issue it can be. All right then. And the time on 4CRB continues to roll along. It's just past 12 minutes past nine as we say a very good morning to Sue. G'day, Sue. How are you?
Not bad, not bad.
How can we help?
Okay, I'm ringing on behalf of a very dear friend of mine.
Yes.
His wife recently passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Before she passed, they purchased a very large 40-foot vehicle that they were living in and travelling Australia.
Right.
Right, so it's owned outright.
Hmm.
Now, when she passed away, she had apparently a tax bill. That tax bill apparently passed down to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in contact with the taxation department. They never ring him back. And then all of a sudden, the other day, he got a knock at the door, or knock on the fence.
Mm.
It was a collection agency and policemen to come and take the fifth wheeler, well, the vehicle, as payment for the tax debt.
Whose name was the vehicle in?
I think it's in his name.
Right, well, I can't take the vehicle if it's in his name because, you know, the only thing that they can collect against are assets that were owned by the deceased, and her tax bill does not automatically devolve onto him.
All right.
Yeah, so so if he's the registered owner of the vehicle, then there's no basis upon which the vehicle can be seized.
Yeah, I mean, like... They say that because they had a court order and everything, but he didn't even know it had gone to court.
Well, the only person they could have a court order against is his wife.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'm thinking is whether the vehicle was in both names, whether it was registered in their names jointly.
But even if that, I mean, that's his principal place of home.
Residence,
that's
yes.
Where he lives.
Yeah, yes. So look,
and fully
I think.
Paid for.
Yeah, so which area of the Gold Coast does he live?
He's in Jim Boomba.
Oh, right. So he's quite a way away from the coast because what I was going to suggest was that he could go and see one of the free legal services that operate on the Gold Coast, but I'm not sure of any that operate in Jim Boomba. There possibly could be one that operates in Beaudesert. Sue, which wouldn't be that far, hopefully, for him to get to. So have they actually taken the vehicle or not?
Oh, yeah. And it's really funny because when the collection agency came, they came with a tilt tray tow truck.
They'd be too big for the tilt tray.
Well, that's right. They couldn't fit on. So they sat away from the house for a while they bought another truck all the way down from Toowoomba, and they just... hooked it up to the back of it without just chained it. They didn't even have it properly hooked up.
Right.
And towed it all the way to the other side of Brisbane somewhere.
Yes, yes. No, well, well certainly there's no, it sounds to me like there's no doubt that that they were acting lawfully in terms of a warrant to seize the vehicle, and it sounds to me, Sue, more likely that the vehicle was registered in her name rather than his name, or at the very least that it was owned by them jointly. But if it's owned jointly, they should only be able to sell it and take one half of the money, not all of the money. So I think he needs to get his papers together and get some legal advice fairly quickly.
Yeah. So even though it was fully paid for, they can just come and take it, and if that's where he lives.
Well, if you owe a debt, then the debt can be pursued against any assets that you own, even your home. So if you owe money to the tax department or you owe money to any finance company, I mean, if you've got a mortgage over your home from the bank and you don't pay your payments, well, the bank can evict you from the property and sell the property out to recover their debt. So it's no different to that. Okay, but it's important to learn whether, and I can't imagine them seizing the vehicle if the registration was in his name solely, unless there was some issue about that she had loaned him money to buy it or something of that nature.
So there's
a lot more to this than meets the eye, Sue. What I would suggest he does is ring the Queensland Law Society. Have you got a pen handy?
I certainly do.
Okay, so just take this number down, 1300.
Yep.
367.
Yep.
757.
757.
Yeah, so that's the number for the Queensland Law Society. Tell him to ring them and see if there is a free legal service in Beaudesert. I doubt there'd be one in Jimboomba, but he could ask. And if there's not one in Jimboomba, find out where the closest free legal service is, and if he can reasonably get to it, that could be a good option for him.
Okay.
But it sounds to me like whoever he sees is going to have to see the paperwork because it's a little bit complicated.
Tell me about it. Okay, thank you for your help.
Okay, Sue, all the very best. Time on 4CRB continues to roll on. It's just past 18 minutes past 9 as we say good morning to Bernadette. Good morning, Bernadette. How are you today?
Well, thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
No trouble. How can I help?
You might be able to tell me whether a solicitor's letter would be the way to go to keep this situation I'm in as peaceful as possible. I moved into a premises about 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry.
That's
been very, very stressful.
Right.
I was so grateful. Because I had been on the list of public housing for 18 years.
Right, so you finally got a place under public housing, is that what's happened?
I did.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very grateful to at last have affordable housing because after the divorce 18 years ago, the little bit I was left with had to compensate for my rent everywhere for 18 years, which was higher.
Yes.
Then I wasn't old enough to get a pension at the time. Look, I'm sorry for being emotional.
No, that's quite okay.
What happened was girls had interviewed me and gave me a place that was absolutely beautiful. I cannot fault them in any way. It's been absolutely amazing. But they must have known that there were problems here, this 8 years, because they said to me, if anything happens, just say nothing and do nothing and report it to us. Well, it happened immediately. A girlfriend was helping move in, and we were verbally abused by this lady that the car was in the way, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't. And I had asked, I went one step ahead and I said, girl, the officer said, now will I park out on the road? She said, no. She said, it's first in, first served. She said, there's only four vehicles with yours. And she said, there's five parking spaces. So she said, you'll be right. So we didn't do anything wrong. But anyway, so I don't waste your time. It escalated. The lady, she never ever said, hello, my name's such and such. I played it down when she came to me all the time abusing. One time she came so close. That she was actually, her body was touching mine, and reported it all to them. They made me fill out a complaint form, which I was fearful to do. After that, I had no proof of this evidence that the right side of my front car was damaged one night. Now the left side's been done. Trying to get it calmed down. It's a bit common to try to get compassion. She's obviously got a mental condition, but at the end of the day, 3 months now, nothing has happened. So she's gone from verbal abuse to harassing, intimidating and stalking. She gets out under the windows and things out. Is she in the shower? Is she at the beach? Is she putting a jug on? All this type of stuff. And at the moment, I'm hardly ever here because I have an active life. But at the moment, I've had a cancer cut out of my leg, so it means that I am here. And friends are then coming and checking on me. But she's even intimidating me at the end.
What have the people from the Department of Housing said? Are they doing anything in relation to this or not?
Well, we were hoping, my friends and I were hoping they were, and as I said, you have to be honest, they have been absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I think just being trying to have common sense with the hands tied, unless she got a hammer and smashed up the inside of a unit or something, they probably can't do too much.
Mm.
In the beginning, I'm to blame, people. They told me, please go to the police. They said, it's out of our hands, you need to go to the police. Well, I don't like that type of thing, so I didn't do it.
Mm.
And, of course, now, I can't keep living like this because...
I think Bernadette, you do need to go to the police, and I think you need to consider getting an apprehended violence order against this woman to restrain her.
Would they do that? But she's not doing the verbal. She's only harassing, intimidating, and stalking. I mean, it's
well, stalking is an offence. So I think what I would do if I was you is I would go into your nearest police station and just tell them what's been happening over all this period of time. Hopefully the police would at the very least go out and see the woman. And the other thing, of course, is that the police very well may provide a report to the Department of Housing as well, so that...
That's what they wanted, I think. I mean, I really can't be affording to get a solicitor's letter, but I'm thinking...
No, I don't think you need to do that. I think you need... No, I don't think it would. I think you need to take the matter to the police. So
I think that, look, I don't mean to be awful to the police, but look, I'm a survivor of this past 6 years, and they never got any help. I'm sorry. I'm back in the era when they did nothing. So I'm really not looking forward to going to them.
Right. Well, look, I still don't. I think you should take a support person with you and go to the police, or alternatively, go in and see the Department of Housing and see whether one of the girls there. Who you've been dealing with could act as a support person for you to go to the police because something definitely needs to be done. The only other alternative I can think of, Bernadette, is whether the Department of Housing is able to move you to another complex. That'd be about the only other thing that I could think of. But unfortunately, we're just going to have to leave it there, Bernadette.
Thank you.
Look, try those things and hopefully between the Department of Housing and the police, you should be able to get something done. If the police don't do anything about it, the other thing I would recommend is to find out who your local state member of parliament is, make an appointment and go and see them and tell them that you've been to the police and nothing has been done and can they help you to have some action taken. All right, then.
Thank you very much.
Okay, then, Bernadette, all the very best. And the time on 4CRB is just coming up to 24 minutes past 9. We'll be back after this word from our sponsor.
Hi, Ray Stevens here. As the member for Mermaid Beach in State Parliament, I am working on your behalf to make our area the safest place to live, work and play. Please call me on 56000100 if I can be of assistance on any matter that concerns you or any issue that you are worried about. We have a great community here and it is my job to keep it that way. Once again, that number is 56000100 and thank you for listening.
A station sponsor.
And this is The Law and You on 4CRB. We've probably got about 5 minutes to go in the program, so if you have a quick question or a query you'd like answered, give us a call right now. The lines are free, 55208888. But in the meantime, an email came in during the week from Bruce, who says, a very dear old friend who's 86 has just allowed her 50-year-old nephew to move into her home, and he'll pay a cheap rent. Bruce is concerned because the nephew appears to constantly lie, and he hates to think the stories that that he's telling his friend. She has two daughters who live elsewhere, and his main concern is that when his friend passes on, whether there would be any problem in getting the nephew out of the property. Well, I think there are quite a number of issues here that are areas for concern. I think, Bruce, if I was you, I would be getting in touch with the daughters just to check on who, for example, has power of attorney for this lady, just to make sure that there's a clear understanding of where her will is held, because the things that you would want to be concerned about would be this person talking the old lady into making a new will or making a new power of attorney, which included this person, or the worst of all, transferring the ownership of the property into, for example, joint names with the nephew, because if that were to occur, then on the lady's passing, the property would automatically devolve on the nephew. So there are some concerns there, and I think that they need to be addressed. Turning now to the eviction issue, assuming that he's simply there paying a modest rent, when the lady passes away, the normal rules in relation to residential tenancy will apply, and I would doubt that there would be any tenancy agreement in place, so the person would be a tenant from month to month, and so the appropriate notice requirements would need to be given to get the person out of the property. Even if he wasn't paying any rent at all, he would be a tenant at will, but you still need to follow the notice requirements under the Residential Tenancies Act in order to get possession of the property. So I don't think the tenancy is a huge issue. The reason why I mentioned the will is because you wouldn't want the nephew to somehow have the old lady make a will which, for example, gives him some form of life tenancy or some right to reside for some period of time. He has no claim on the estate if he is not a beneficiary, because nephews don't have a claim unless he could somehow establish that he was a dependent. The daughters certainly do have a claim, and so if the will was changed to, for example, leave the whole of the estate to the nephew to the exclusion of the daughters, then they would certainly be able to bring a claim for provision, and I have no doubt that they would be successful, assuming that they've been dutiful daughters during their lifetime. So I hope that's a bit of help for you, Bruce. We've got one last caller that we'll take quickly. Michael, how are you today? Michael, are you there?
Yes.
How can we help? How can we help?
I just have a quick question for you.
Sure.
I'm living in a duplex.
Hmm.
And the people behind me are renting it.
Hmm.
And they continually park in front of the garage door for the last 2 years. Hmm. I'm just wondering if I have any legal comeback.
Is the area where they're parking in front of the garage door, is it part of the title to the property, to the duplex, or is it common property?
It's the common shared driveway.
The common shared driveway. Okay, well then it's a question of what the bylaws for the body corporate say. Because even a duplex, if there's a plan that has been registered for the two properties, there should be bylaws. So you would need to see what the bylaws say about parking on the driveway or parking on the common property, I should say. So that would be the issue. And if there is no bylaw that covers it, then I would be contacting the owner of the property next door and perhaps suggesting to them that the bylaws be changed to make some provision for when you can or can't park on the common driveway. All right then?
Because I sent a letter to the owner twice about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't do anything because he just wants the rent coming in.
Yes. Well, have you looked at the bylaws of the body corporate?
As far as I know, there is none. I just pay half the insurance.
Well, there would...
Just share the driveway, I can't block access.
Well, there would be statutory bylaws that are laid down under the legislation, so I would take a look at those as a first port of call. Whereabouts on the coast are you, Michael? Which suburb?
Ashmore.
Okay, because the other thing you could do would be to go in and see the Gold Coast Community Legal Centre and Advice Bureau, who are in Southport. Do you want a number for them?
Yeah, you can give me the number. That'd
okay. 5532
5532
9611. Yeah, so ring them up and make an appointment and go in and see them, and you can take in your papers, etc., and they can go through them for you. All right, then?
Oh, that's all right. I'll think you're going to QCAT and taking the owner.
Well, I think I'd go and get some advice on it first. All right,
all
then?
All right.
Okay, then, Michael, all the best. I'm John Fradgley. It's been great to have your company for The Law and You this morning. I look forward to being back with you, of course, next Tuesday morning. But as always, until then, it's goodbye and God bless.